Now, while they're picking it up, I'm going to, and before we release the children, I wanted to share with you, I talked to Ruth Lang several times and just chatted with her. We got Kevin and Eric are here. Anyway, she said she'd like me to share with you and stuff. And so she's still battling the cancer and, you know, is weak. And so she has to take chemo and, you know, the side effects of that. And so praying for that and some just other complications that are rising up with that. And she's just a tremendous trooper. And so we just want to pray for her. We thank you. I just thank you for her faith and God in her, just the strength that she shows in looking to him in all cases, just a tremendous encouragement. But we just pray specifically for her, for she's quality of life. She said, would she have more strength and be able to do more and just to remove the nausea? And of course, we just pray that the Lord uses his mighty hand to just shrink these cancer cells and just to kill them. And so we want to pray for her. We thank God for her and thank you for the witness that she is. And just the relationship she has with the Lord Jesus Christ. She's an encouragement to everyone. And so we thank God for her. And if she had enough strength, she'd be here this morning. But so, dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for Ruth Lang. We thank you for just what a powerful woman of God she is. We thank you that she looks to you, God, and she's holding on to you. Her vision is fixed clearly on you. We thank you for the salvation she has in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the witness of your love and power that she shows, and we just thank you for that. And just her eternal vision and her eternal eyes, we thank you so much for that. We thank you for Bob and being such a support to her. We do thank you for Kevin and Eric to be such a joy and support for her, and that they're so important to her. So God, we give this to you. We just pray for a supernatural healing. God, touch and just give her strength that we have that quality of life and can enjoy her family. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Okay, we'll let the children walk through their classrooms, the young. So I think we got a little praise in without actually, you know, hitting a note or anything, a little without any music. And so being able to praise God, honor Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit. So as the children are going to their classroom, we're going to do foundation number 3, all right, the message. So this is the core message. And, of course, the foundation number 3 always has to do with our salvation, you know, the salvation. And it's really important for us to think about our foundations. It's like the July 4th, you think about our founding and how the country was founded. It keeps us steady. We move forward. You forget that, and then you can go all over the place, which some people would even encourage us to do. Communion, that you remember him. So it sets the foundation. It sets your focus when you have that foundation. Well, in the message, our salvation, that's important too. We always call on the time, the memory of the time when we came to know the Lord and understanding the Lord. Because as we came to know the Lord, that becomes foundational. Because it sets our behavior. And I'm talking about from just a mental sense that we have an understanding. And I'm looking clearly at the power of God within us. But it's a foundational understanding. And based on that foundational understanding, then everything we believe is based on that. We base it on that. And so we move forward from that foundation. We're not over here looking at something else and basing our decisions on that and making just all sorts of crazy, you know, decisions, because we have that firm foundation that we look back to. And it won't lead us astray. And so it's a basic truth on which all other truths are based, okay? A basic truth on which all other truths are based. If we believe Christ paid the penalty for our sin and we believe that he met with us, then all other truths are going to be based on that truth. It impacts our behavior. It impacts our behavior. And I'm just talking from a mental standpoint. And so we have as our mental basic foundational truth in which we proceed. And so that's what we want to look at this morning. And two, we want to tie into that basic truth that we know there is a power of God that works within us. I mean, we didn't just come to understand a basic truth. Now we had more knowledge than somebody else. And now we have knowledge, and that knowledge saved us. That's not true. But with that basic truth, we experience Christ, have a relationship with him, and Christ works through us. There is a relational power that takes place, all right? So the two go together. Well, this morning, I want to share a foundational truth, and that when I first came to know the Lord in the first church that I was in, that these two verses are verses that everybody in the church knew. You know, I can pretty much assure you that anybody that's been in Broadlands or knows me will know that, say, what's the foundational verse for Wallace? 2 Corinthians 5:21. You know, I told you one time I was having lunch with Linda, and this guy walked in. He said, "Hey, Wallace." He's like, "I haven't seen him in years." He goes, "2 Corinthians 5:21. I mean, that's okay, you know. I mean, that's okay. I'll take that. See, because to me, it's foundational what you build. But when I was the church I was attending, the foundational verse was Ephesians 2:8-9. Everybody knew that verse. I mean, it was quoted in every message, every Bible study. I mean, it was something that was common. Common statement that was made, and it was preached on several times. It would find its way into the message, and so it was center. It was core of what the church believed, and everything that where they went was based on that. Based on that, I mean, you couldn't come within that body and stay a month where you didn't hear these verses. So I thought, well, let's look at that. Since I've talked enough about 2 Corinthians 5:21, how about we look at this one? And it's an important verse. It's an important verse. And, you know, and I think I really should refer to it more often. And I probably should speak on it more often. But it rings in my head constantly. I mean, when I read it now, I can just, the memories just come back of all the different situations I had as a young believer and looking at this verse. So let's look at this verse. Is foundation, gospel message. It's our foundation number three here, the gospel message. And it says this, Ephesians 2:8-9. "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." That's a powerful verse. I mean, that's a powerful two verses. And so you look at this and you say it's for grace. It's for by grace. It's for by grace you've been saved. How are you saved? It's by grace. We know grace means favor and power. So God, favor and power, saved us through faith. Somebody told us that. We believed. We responded. You know, someone said, "That is a chair. I believe that was a chair, and then I sit in it." Not until I sit in it did it become faith. See, and so this is what's happened when it talks about by grace you have been saved through faith. And then it goes on saying, this is not your own doing. This is not your own doing. You ever think you kind of came to know the Lord, you worked some things out and got close to him? It's not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works. What you got to do to get it? What you got to do to get it? Your salvation. It's not the result of works. Why? So you can't boast. He got me because I'm good. Of course, anybody knows me knows that's not true. Okay. But I might fool myself. No. It is based. It's not based on result of works that no one would boast. It's just God's favor. He just did it. And I bet some of us sitting here, I don't know why he saved me. And you go, I don't know why. How? I don't know why. Why me and not somebody else? It's God's grace. Now, what I want to do is to drive home this point and look at this verse, which is so important and has so much in it. Has so much in it. I want us to kind of take some time and think about it, about what the Lord is telling us about why this should be foundational. Foundational. Because if you understand this, if one understands this and makes it foundational, it will impact every decision you make. That's why it's important, all right? And this is a good one to put to memory. This is a good memory verse right here. It's a good one to know, for every believer to know. So again, I want to look at that. It's for by grace you have been saved. So there's a message right there. If you're talking to anybody talks to you about your relationship with the Lord, their relationship, it's by grace you have been saved. Now, grace, and you've heard me say this before, but the original meaning is very interesting, okay? The original meaning is very interesting, and it is the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. So there's a divine influence on the heart and reflection in the life. You receive grace, something in your heart, and it changes your life. It's by grace. And it's not, and so God does it to you. That's what grace is. And I summarize this and use it just because it's easy to remember. Grace is favor and power. Favor and power. He shows you favor and gives you power. So it's by favor and grace, favor and power, we have been saved. It is, if you will, the divine influence upon the heart and reflection in the life. Something happens with grace. Something happens. A favor of God that causes things to happen. Now, what I want to, now this is important. Now, I haven't heard it often preached on. I haven't heard this often preached on, but I'm going to tie a verse here, and I think it's important that you remember this verse, because what I think it is, without saying it, it is a definition of grace, okay? It's a definition of grace, and I think it's one important to look at. I want us to look at Philippians 2.13. Look at Philippians 2.13. And again, you've got the Apostle Paul, and he's communicating the reality of our salvation. He's communicating that how the Lord and his divine favor has touched us, and through his grace, the divine favor touched us, changes our lives. He does something. You know, you can say, I just met with Jesus. Neat, didn't have any impact on me. Well, there's no grace there. God didn't show you any favor. And I'm telling, it didn't have any impact on your life. There's nothing there. See, there's a power with God's grace. You know, I gave a message a while back, it's violent grace. You know, because things happen. When God's grace moves, there's things happen. But here you have Philippians 2:13. Fascinating verse. I'll read it and then we'll kind of look at this. It says, for as God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Now, that definition is grace. That's God's definition of grace right there, that verse. It doesn't say grace, but it's his definition. It's just what I said in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. That just summarizes my words. And so when you look at this, Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God who works. It is God who works in you. Why don't you do something? I don't want to do anything. All right, let me give you a motivational speech. You know, let me offer you more money. You know, let me threaten to smack you or something, you know. But it's like, no. It is God who works in you. God is in us doing something. See, God has done something. Now, the word work there, the original work means, okay, I mean, it's like the English word, but it specifically means to put forth power. Put forth power. It is God who puts forth power. I just don't like anything about Jesus. I won't do anything. Then there's no grace. There's nothing putting forth any power. And there's no amount of talking into, you know, cajoling or whatever, get somebody to do something, because God's not putting forth any power in them. See? And so what grace is that God puts forth power. So that's what it is. That's what grace is. For it's God who puts forth power. He works in you to do this. And this is crazy. This is wonderful. For it's God who puts forth power, who works in you, both to will and to work his good pleasure. both to will. Do you know what will is? It is God who gives you the will. It is God who gives you the want to. I don't want to live like it. I don't want to do, because you don't have any grace. You don't have any want to. There's no want to. God, when he gives us grace, he gives us a want to. And we talk to people, and all the time we're trying to give them a want to. And we can't give them a want to. Only God can give them a want to. The only thing you can do is introduce them to Christ, and they come into a living relationship with him, and God will give them a want to. Amen? I mean, it is a powerful statement. I mean, it helps when you interact with people. You talk to people and say, you get in an intellectual conversation with somebody that just goes anyplace. Because they don't have any want to in them. They think they're fine. They think you're wrong. There's no want to. And it's like, I wouldn't do that. Yeah, I wouldn't live like that. That's just crazy. There's no want to. And there's no power in them given by God. See, why Christians are different. Why Christians are different is we're different because we have a relationship with Christ. That's number one. Let's don't forget that. It's because we have a relationship. But with that relationship, it is God who puts forth power in the Christian. It is God who gives the Christian want to. See, and so a Christian changes. They're born again, and they have power, and they have want to. And that power and want to is built based on that relationship with Christ. You know, I'm just sick of church. I don't want to come, and I just don't want to be here Sunday morning. And Linda goes, you got to go. You know, no, she didn't say that. But the thing, you can't give a person 10 reasons why they should do that. No. You said you need to go before the Lord, and the Lord will give you the power and the want to. See, the problem why you don't have power and you don't have want to is you don't have relationship. Amen? Now, that's an understanding for unbelievers, but also understanding for believers. Now, be honest. You don't have to answer this. Do you ever sometimes just as a believer, just like, you know, I'm just tired of, don't have a lot of want to right now, you know? I don't need a lecture on want to. But I know that if I have that attitude, it has something, because there is something between me and Christ where my relationship's not the way it should be. Because if my relationship was the way it should be with Christ, I would have want to. And I'd have the power to do it. So it's me and Jesus. See, it's not the people around me that determines my want to. It's not the people around me that determines my power. It's my relationship with Christ. Now, I would like to blame the people around me. I would. Well, if they were nice to me, I'd be nice to them. And I don't want to be nice to them, because they're not nice to me. There's no relationship with Christ. There's no relationship with Christ in that comment. See? And so as we grow in the relationship with Christ, then what happens? It says he puts forth power and he gives us the will, the want to. Amen? Now you take Ephesians 2:8-9 and you take Philippians 2:13. Boy, you got a solid foundation on that. Now that's going to impact your decisions. You know, and it helps you too individually. And I mean, you know, I'm sure you get, I don't want to do this. Oh gosh, I don't feel like it. All right, what do you do? Lord, tell me, what am I supposed to do? Lord, I love you. You've done so much for me. I want to walk with you. Speak to me, God. Show me the things I need to do. Oh, God, I'm so thankful for what you've done to me. Just clear my mind. He'll give me the power and the want to based on the relationship. You see what I'm saying? It helps us. It helps us. Instead of saying, you know, I don't want to, Linda, because you've been mad at me. You haven't been nice to me. And so until you're nice to me, I'm not going to do it. And I'd be better off with Jesus if you were nicer to me. There's all sorts of things wrong with that, isn't there? You know? But how many times do we do that? How many times do we do that? You know? And it's like, all right, God. All right, God. And here's something. This is a kicker. I just throw this in for extra. God will bring people across your path. He will bring people across your path that will just drive you nuts. And the purpose is so that we'll draw near to God and grow in our relationship, so he will give us the want to with the impossible people. See, if people's just loving us, we got a lot of want to. It's the people that are not nice that it has a hard time having some want to. You see what I'm saying? And so he'll bring irritating people. Sovereignly irritating people. In fact, I think some people are sovereignly irritating, you know? And he'll bring, but it's like, okay, God, and he'll give us the want to. But it's based on our relationship. Amen? But do you see now in processing that, how that if we believe that foundational thing, that foundational verses, it impacts our decision-making behavior. I'm not saying be easy. You know, you may have to take 3 deep breaths, go in the closet and say, oh, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. You know, that's okay. That's okay. And kids, give me some strength. Get me out of here. See, you grow. You grow in that. You grow in that. And so here are the verses we have here. So we have, when you look at this, and that word, we can just pass over that, says it is God who works in you. And read what the word says. We believe in the Bible, then read what it says. For it is God who works. I mean, it's telling you right there who it is. For it is God who works in you, both to will. No, give you the desire. He gives you the energy, the power, and the desire. He gives you the will and to work his good pleasure. And that work and the work before, it's the same work. So he gives you the desire and he gives you the power for his good pleasure. So both of them the same word. He gives you energy, he gives you power. Now, so we note, this is what we need to note. When we talk about we're saved by grace, with the grace of God, and this is where, you know, I gave that message on violent grace. Grace gives you power and desire. Grace is favor and power to you, but grace is power, gives you power and desire. If you receive the grace of God, you receive the grace of God, it's favor and power. But as you receive the grace of God, you have power and desire. That's born again. That's a relationship. We start behaving like Jesus. But he didn't just say, suck it up and do it better. Now, I'm going to tell you why he said, you know, don't suck it up and do it better. Let's go back to Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Because we think, okay, I'm going to suck it up and I'll do better and I will be the Christian. I will show that grace. I'll show that power. I'll show that desire. Well, look at what it says in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. It's by grace you have been saved through faith, and it's not your own doing. Now process this. They like just what I said up to this point. Okay, it's grace and power. I'm stepping out and I'm going to show God's grace and I'm going to show God's grace. Just watch me grunt and strain and show the power of God. It's not what it's saying. Look at that. It's for grace you have been saved through faith, and it's not your own doing. What is this nonsense? What is this? It is not your own doing. It is a gift. It is a gift of God, not the result of works, so no man can boast. It's a receiving of favor and power. Now, we're not going to go there, but we could go there and we talk about Christ in you and the Holy Spirit and all sorts of things like that. But he is talking about us walking in a relationship with God, with the power of God working through us that is affecting our behavior in power and want to. It's not us being better and trying harder. It's us developing a deeper relationship with Christ. Y'all with me? I mean, it's just overwhelming. So here I have a picture for you. So I thought you would remember this picture. You said, that's grace. That's grace. That's grace. And we walk up to that. We just think you're going to walk up and you look at that gift. Oh, man, I'm going to try harder. Oh, I'm going to read more scripture. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to be nicer. Oh, my goodness. What are you supposed to do with that gift? What are you supposed to do with that gift? Take it. You're supposed to take it. That's what it is. You're supposed to take that gift. He put it out there. He said, I have it, and this is yours. Just take it. Just take it. So the picture of that is what God is saying. It is a gift of God. What is grace? We're saved by grace through faith. It's not your own doing. It is a gift He's given us. So our mind has to process and change so that we can receive a gift. Because if our mind doesn't process and change, we're going to work for that gift. We're going to work. We're going to try. We're going to break out a sweat if we believe it. Because we can't comprehend receiving a gift from God. We can't. We can't figure it out. And we don't experience the power of God because we don't understand how to receive the gift of God. Our view of the power of God is what we do. We do. Look at all the charisma He has. Look at all the things He's done. A lot of people that don't know Jesus do that. See, that's not what He's talking about. He's saying receive a gift. As a people of God, we have to learn how to receive the gift. It is a gift of God. And the first thing to receive it, to know that it is a gift. To know it is a gift. And so we have to go before the Lord. Okay, God, You speak. You teach me. I want to understand what You're doing. You draw. Oh, Lord, I know You're working within me. Lord, give me Your wisdom. You're building that relationship. You're walking in that relationship. Things going off all around you, and you're still walking in that relationship, asking God to be your teacher and to show you what to do. Because the grace is putting forth, God is putting forth power working. He's not going to take you someplace. He's not going to give you the power to do it. Oh, He took me here. I couldn't do it. Just wipe me out. You know? Now, what we're saying is, God, why'd You do that to me? You know how good I've been, and You just put me in this situation. I can't get out. That wasn't nice of You. See, now, we don't say that, but we say, I just can't handle it. I don't know why I'm here. We're saying it. No, He put us there because He's going to give us the power to do what we need to do, and then He's going to give us the want to do it. See, that's when we look at every difficult situation. We go, oh, I'm going to die. I don't know what I'm going to do. No. He says, oh, man, we're going to see God work, and He's going to give us some want to be able to do it. See, our thinking changes. And as our thinking changes, it releases the power of God. Releases the power of God in us and releases the power of God around us. And as things fall into place, we go, thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Because we know full well what happened. Amen? See, man, just those few verses. It's foundational. It's foundational. And can you believe it? The problem is we can't receive a gift. We cannot receive a gift. Now, we want to grasp the gift. I'm going to drive home this gift again, okay? And so we're trying to grasp the gift. Well, I have another picture for you, okay? Another picture. Love this picture. All right, what is that? Penny, all right? Now, if someone comes up, says, I'm going to give you a gift. I'm going to give you a gift. Here's a gift. Good deal. Great gift. I just want one penny for this gift. I just want one penny. Is that a gift? No. I mean, it's cheap. It's cheap. It's a good deal. You might already jump on that, you know. But it's not a gift. It cost you a penny. See, you hear that all the time. I give you a gift for this much. And a gift. It's not a gift. Just as you said for this much, it's not a gift. All right? Here's a gift if you'll do this. That's not a gift. See, if there's anything attached to the gift, it is not a gift. That penny in this country is about, you know, minuscule as you can get. But it's a, if you'll do, you know, if you'll just give me one penny, I'll do that. It's no gift. It's no gift. It's not a gift. Again, cheap, good deal, but it is not a gift. And you know what God is saying? You know what God is saying with us? I'm giving you a gift. Oh my God, I'll do this for you, Jesus. No, that's not what it said. Here's the gift. I want you to receive it. Just receive it. And what you do, I'll do through you. Don't be trying to do stuff for me. Don't. Not going to work. All right. Not for me. Don't do stuff for me. Receive the gift and let me do something through you. And as I bring you into situations, I will put forth power because it's God's working, and I will give you the want to. The want to. Now, there's a struggle in us. See, it's a struggle. And he says, I'll keep teaching you. I'll keep teaching you. I love this verse. And we quoted a few weeks back, and it says, grow in grace. What does that mean? Well, we use these to grow in want to. Grow in power given to you. God, this is, man, I'll grow in it. You don't understand how to operate in this. You don't know how to function. So just step in and see God doing it. So you grow in the God power I've put forth. Grow in that. Understand that. Then I don't know. I don't even know if I want to, but it would take that step because I'm going to give you the want to. On what you know, you take that step. All right. And then after a while, by the time you've walked with the Lord a few years, then it starts to become, you can hear him better, you go in strength, you go in grace, and in 20 years from now, you'll be in a better shape than you are now. How many like that? See, because you grow. It says grow in Christ, because God is our teacher. God is our teacher. Now, Christ paid the penalty for our sins. It's a gift. Just gave it to us. Just gave it to us. I always say, people say, Christianity drives them crazy. It's just overbearing. You know, he died for my sins is a gift. I mean, that's good news. I mean, I don't know. You got to be some kind of messed up if you don't think that's good news. You may not believe it, but you got to believe it's good news. It's good news. And so we look at this and we see that God has given us forgiveness and given us eternal life, and it's a free gift. And it's a free gift. Let's look at Ephesians 2:8-9 again. We just drive it home. Do you see where the church I went to, everybody knew this verse. Everybody, see? And you can see why with receiving that it would affect the foundational base behavior. Now, I'm throwing in as a little cream, you know, on the dessert here, is put that Philippians 2:13 on that because it gives the explanation. Because the grace gives us the power and the want to. So you just add that on there and you can add to that. So it's a powerful thing. So we read this with insight. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of your own doing. It is a gift of God, not result of work, so that no man may boast. This is a foundational truth of the Christian faith. Foundational. And it'll affect the way we think. So to leave you with this. Okay, receive the free gift. Receive the free gift. Receive the favor. Receive the power. Receive the desire. Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your love. Lord, that you died for me. Oh, that you died for me. That I am forgiven. And you died for me just because you showed me favor. Just favor. You just showed me favor. And you showed me power. And you showed me power. And you've given me a desire. Lord, thank you. I receive your favor, your power, your desire. And Lord, you asked me to grow in that favor and that power and desire. Lord, I just pray, continue to speak to me. Help me take those steps that I can grow in that power so that people can see you. Not see me, but just see you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your goodness. We thank you paid the penalty for our sins. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.